12 is Friends of Lapine City Cleanup Day. Question? All those in favor?
Need a mark. Did someone make a motion?
So moved. I'll make the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Make sure that you realize Patty's not here, so we're getting briefer minutes, so just if you make sure that they know what you're talking and things, it will help, because poor Patty's gonna have to come along and do this later, and she's not here. She's usually typing in as she goes.
I'm taking notes.
By the way, Mayor, I've got those maps in the office, so don't forget to pick them up.
I had a note for myself.
Okay, all right.
Do we need to approve this transfer letter at this point in time?
Why don't I give a quick intro again, and we'll dive right into it. So during the executive session, we discussed a confidential communication concerning our responsibilities under Oregon law with respect to employee transfers. We now are going to be talking about the city's position or decision with respect to the transfer of employees, specifically what employees we have positions for and what employees, or which employees, I'm sorry, we do not have positions for. And then after that determination has been made, I think based upon Oregon law, we then need to discuss an offer letter, but which I believe is in front of all of you now. And we would like City Council's approval to transmit that offer letter to the designated staff members, potential employees, to inform them of the decision. So, under Oregon law, we know that each employee with the districts are entitled to be transferred over to the city once the withdrawal process is consummated. There are certain exceptions. One such exception exists if we don't have a comparable position, a lesser position, or a lesser position. And if that is the case, the employee is placed in a laid-off capacity with priority over appointment. We've discussed previously in the executive session the statutory framework and the related analysis. Based upon that analysis and the statutory framework which we discussed in the executive session, we would like the City Council to make a determination as to the employee transfers.
You should all have copies of this, staff report on that, which we just handed out. Did you get your new copy?
Yes.
That's the basis of this. You share them up with
Councilors, any comments?
I like this. I like the way it was changed. That's
then. Are we ready for a motion to approve the current analysis of the employee transfer?
I'll move that we accept the supply and staffing requirements.
I second it.
Motion and seconded to accept the staff, the City of Lapine staffing requirements as presented. Question? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect it's unanimous. Okay.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Now we would like the City Council to approve the proposed offer letters or notice of transfer letters.
Is this this transfer letter?
It is.
I move we approve the transfer letter.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the transfer letter. Question? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect that it's unanimous to approval of the transfer letter.
Did that letter include the letter for the other employee?
But yeah, I think we'll work on that. And Steve, you know, you guys approved a resolution that authorized Steve to sign things, and so our goal is to get that out tomorrow.
Okay.
And so we'll have a transfer letter for the four employees that are going to be transferred over, and the one employee that would ultimately not make the transfer be laid off.
It's still a transfer.
It's a transfer.
They're still transferred.
They're just going to be laid off.
That is correct. And they are placed on our roster, correct, Katie?
Correct.
Now, there's no reason why we need to not be even more specific at this point in the public meeting. So to be clear, for the record, the decision that was just made by the city council is that the following employees if they so choose, be laterally transferred to the city, and that would be Scott Perkins, Ashley Williams, Jacob Obrist, and Johnny Bales. And it has been determined that the position that would not exist then would be the operations manager position that currently retained by Donna Ziegler.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Is there any further business staff?
Yeah. Couple
logistics.
Well, not logistics, the on-call.
Yes, yeah.
I'm filtering.
There's another name for that. I won't say nothing.
So I've been looking at, because one of the things that we're going to send out an offer or a transfer letter to employees, and of course one of the things they want to know is what's my benefits, what's my wages, and all those things. Because obviously that's number one on any employee's issues list. Most of you are aware that the wages are transferred. In other words, under the law, for up to 1 year, they will be paid their current rate, which is $28.68 an hour for Scott, down to $15.50 an hour for Johnny Bales and others in between. When I looked at the other cities in the area, and I mean, just for you realize that it's basically we're in a ballpark there. It's not something that we're way high, way low. We're pretty much, and like I say, it's very hard, Mike, when you guys start into your negotiating and some of that, building the salary schedule that Katie says we need. You know, it'll take some expertise because the way these people title stuff is just tough. You know, and you know, in other words, city managers, finance directors, you've got get 250 city manager salaries, but they don't seem to, no one titles anything the same. And so it becomes tricky. You really have to get into job descriptions, and then literally the differences are micro. But if you take it from kind of a higher elevation, what I have found is wages are basically, it's not a problem, and we are by law required to take that. Retirement, we are under law again. They have a right to choose the, or they get to keep the retirement they have. They currently get 9%, we pay 6%, and that would be for 1 year. Or, which I've never asked this question, if a contract takes effect before the year, does that year get waived and go away? Must.
Yes, I mean, if we negotiate and ratify the contract, we would follow the contract.
So right. It'll be a year or until there's a contract, if there's a bargain. Then it becomes a little different once you get away from those issues. And you get into our employee handbook becomes what employees would receive. And that would include vacation, sick leave, health benefits, and so on. And so I think on the health benefits, at this time, the staff feels we should keep it, basically follow our current handbook. And then if there's a negotiation process, of course, you know, there's a whole set of laws of how that would all play out. But at this point, we would just keep our current employee handbook so everyone's treated equal. There's one place that we don't have in our employee handbook at all, and that would be the on-call, because we have no one on-call in a sense, other than if the city manager doesn't know we're on-call all the time. That just is how it works, but we don't have anyone being called out because there's a water leak or a pump down or something. And so we do need to set the compensation for, so they know what, how we would treat on-call, because it is missing in our employee handbook. So the districts currently are fairly lucrative in that area. And when it's compared to the other communities, you know, Madras, as an example, pays nothing to be on call. And Prineville, which is a union with 10,000 people in the city, pays $100 a week to be on call. And Lapine's paying $200 a week. So, and that comes to $10,400 a year, and that's split between the two employees that rotate call. So my thought is you need to establish a number, because I agree, Dawn and I were talking earlier, that to be on call you should get something. And what it says is they have to be within 30 minutes. You know, we'll be able to write that, but you know, they'd be in bed at a movie, they can be out having dinner or whatever, but within about a half hour they need to be able to be back. They're called out about once or twice a month, so it's 12 to 24 times a year. And you know, at some point, I think that's one of the things we'll want to analyze, just what are those call outs, because I think eliminating them, you know, is it because someone didn't, the rotation schedule of pumping a septic tank didn't quite happen right, you know, those types of things, but you definitely want to reduce those call outs. But I don't know the nature of the call outs. The number of one or two a month was provided to me. Now, in all cases and in all communities, they're paid a 2-hour minimum, so they're paid time and a half when they're called out. So if you're a $16.50 an hour employee, you're gonna make $25 an hour for a 2-hour minimum if you're out for 15 minutes. So this is just the fee to stay, to I guess be willing to be called out. It's not what you get when you're actually called out. You are paid time and a half for a 2-hour minimum once you're called out. That actually is the same in Prineville, Madras, and Sisters. 2-hour minimum. So it's really not something the staff can't pick a number, and you know, so you've got Madras at zero and the district's at $200, Prineville's at 100, and Sisters is a convoluted system of 10% of the hourly pay of the person being called out. However, they run staff 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, so on Saturdays and Sundays they actually have, for 10 hours a day, they have an employee working, and then when they figure in the lunch, that only is for 13 and a half hours a day, the difference between the 10 and 10 and a half. So, you know, everyone has their weird systems. So it's kind of like, what do you guys would like to do on that?
Does the staff have a recommendation?
Well, I got to ask a basic question, and that was, I asked this before, and that is, these folks are currently represented, and I said, can I or can any of us discuss things with them or about them without going through their representative? And I was left with the impression, because they are represented, you got to go through them. So we're talking about now about employees are represented and about doing something for a benefit or something. Do we really need to talk to their representative to be able to have this discussion, or can we unilaterally do it right now because they're not over here yet? I don't know. It seems like there's a disconnect in logic. Help me.
I believe you can take this action. Right now, this group of employees aren't your employees. The city has no obligation to negotiate with the union until these employees are transferred over. So
okay. This
is just filling the gaps where you lack policies that will likely come into play once they are transferred over. That will become the status quo, and the union can attempt to negotiate something different when we have a relationship and are required to bargain with the union.
Well, and along those same lines, they're not over here. Can we have something in our handbook about seniority or about cross-utilization of employees for a variety of things?
We could, as long as we're not doing it solely because they're coming over.
Yeah, I think that we need to deal with the issues that affect these employees directly. I think as far as going and working on our employee handbook, we're not, that's a longer process than the next 30 days to go in and start.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just seems maybe real easy to drop in a sentence that says, well, you know, employees are based on merit, not seniority. But, yeah.
Well, what you're trying to do is start bargaining before the bargaining's begun.
Well, not necessarily. I'm just saying if it isn't spoken to right now, as she said, we're just speaking to things that aren't spoken to right now. Well, one of the things that isn't being spoken to right now is seniority.
If you don't have a policy, whatever practice that you have had in place will be really substitute
and we don't
for
have
a
one.
Policy.
So I'm just saying in the absence of a practice or a policy, it behooves us to have one, and I don't see why we couldn't do that now.
Is it something we need to do?
It'll come back at you the minute they're over here.
And again, I'm not just because they're coming over here, but it just triggered, you know, my one brain cell said, we really should speak to issues of merit versus seniority.
I'd suggest we stop now at this point as far as this line of discussion.
Okay.
So, as legal counsel, we don't want to tread in questionable waters.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go back to the call-out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to address the issues that need to be addressed to bring the utilities here. And over the next year, lots of things will happen.
Are you looking for the council to come up with some?
Yeah. I mean, I don't get to set wages and benefits.
Okay.
So right now the handbook doesn't pay. If we weren't to do anything today, we don't add this to the handbook or add it as a policy. It would be zero.
Okay. So we're saying that from the current call out around the local area is from zero to $100.
$100 to $200. Us or $200 and.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about the others, and we're knowing that $200 is very generous.
$160.
Or overly generous. So we're looking at something from zero to 100. Is anybody, counselors, do you have any input there?
I have a suggestion. I've worked on that sort of thing in the past, and really I think for a city this size they should have something for being on call. However, I would like to see it around $50, and then we're going to pay them a time and a half for a minimum of 2 hours if they go out anyway, so that should be enough to keep them close to the phone.
I would support $50.
Clarification, there's only one called out at a time, right?
Yeah. And now if they had a big pipe break, they'd probably all go out.
But to be on call.
Yes.
Okay, so there's one at a time who's on call. And they get $200 a week over and above the regular pay. Plus time and a half.
Yes.
Now. Okay. Yeah.
And what it really represents at $50 a week, this 652 weeks?
52 weeks, yes.
2600.
What are you trying to figure?
Just the total it would be, a call out would wind up being $2,600 a year.
Yes, it's currently $10,400 divided by 4.
Yeah.
And then the low end, the $15.50 actually will come out with a $45.50 minimum each call out. That's two and a half. That's dollar one and a half times pay for.
Yeah, I haven't figured that. Yeah, but you're I'm sure you're on the right track.
In other words, minimum he's going to get $50 a week, mm-hmm. plus any call out minimum is $45.50 for that
For the first 2 hours.
For the first 2 hours.
Your fire department, what they do when they have a bigger fire, they do a callback. The men usually want to come in because they get that 2 hours minimum of overtime. So when they get that call, it's like, whoa, I just made $50, and most of the time it's probably not a 2 hour event.
Right.
So usually they like to go do it. Now, if you made them sit in their house and couldn't leave town, that's a little more different. But the fact is, they can really, they can be up at Wickiup and probably meet the requirement.
Okay, we'll stay with this, but I wanted to ask about cell phones as we go. You know, that's probably not germane to this, but
yeah, those are kind of the little things I think the staff will work on, as far as cell phone use, and do we pay the bill, or do is it the phone they use personally and we reimburse, all those kinds of things. I would, in that, I would say for the first few months, we would take, if they're currently taking a cell phone, we'd let them continue taking the cell phone, so that the same system of calling them, those are things, Jeremy and I talked a lot, it'll take months to work through all the different little issues like that. So like, you may want to change cell phone use of how they do their call outs and things, but that isn't something we need to work about. That can come well after we've got the bugs out of the system. That's part of debugging the system.
Okay. So, Dan, comment, input?
I'm not sure. I think Central Oregon is a large enough region for us to get some comparisons, and I think we ought to be somewhere comparable. But I know they're all over the place. So, if we pick the highest of what anybody else is doing, that should be pretty liberal and generous, I would think. And somebody's throwing out 50. I'm not opposed to that. I guess I would feel really tethered if I was getting $100 to not leave more than a half hour from Lapine. I mean, I think I'd want at least $100 to do that for a week. it's pretty restrictive for those guys.
I worked it. I was on call out, both as an engineer and then as a manager.
For a week at a time?
Yeah. I didn't get any bonus, but I did get a 4 hour minimum. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the hourly minimum was in the electronics industry, it was common. But they never gave you like $200 a week or $100 a week or anything like that. It was the call out pay that really
made it.
And it looks like that's the way some of them do.
I worked too on a job where I was called out, but I got nothing, and I was on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and when I went in, I didn't get any money either. I mean, I was on a flat salary. So I think even any amount that we set is pretty generous, in my opinion. And they can go, if you're getting $50 and there's water and sewer, how quick do you have to be at one of those calls? If my toilet stops up, how quick am I going to have somebody there to do it? I feel that that would be sufficient. And, around this area, you can be in Bend practically and be here back in 30 minutes, maybe 40 at the most.
We will draft a policy, an on-call policy, that will articulate what our expectations are. I can tell you that as a matter of law, we can't put such restrictions on them to where they're prevented from pursuing their own personal pursuits within reason. I mean, we can put certain geographical limitations and responsiveness limitations, but we can't prevent them, for example, from going up the road 10 or 15 miles. It's all because of the fact that the law says that if we place those types of restrictions on them, we're effectively requiring them to work, and we've got to pay them their respective wages and what have you. So understand that we're going to put together what we would consider a very fair on-call policy. Agreed?
Yes.
Kathy?
Well, I'm kind of with Don. I was not sure about the 100. I don't know. And I don't know if 50 is too low on that. I'm not in favor of the 200, so I've got to come back down a little bit. I'd probably either go for 100, somewhere between 50 and 100. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure I'd... two things, living in the area we do, it's not like living in Portland and you're really feeling more confined where you can't get out. We have a gorgeous place to live, and without too much effort, you can be out there. So I think with a, once it's written up, with a reasonable time to be back to answer that call, I think 50 to 75 is good right now. I don't know. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Stu?
Well, I'll agree with someone in the neighborhood of 50 to 75, because I think when they took those jobs, they knew call out was going to be a part of it. So they, you know, that was part of their employment when they took the job. And if they took the job knowing that, then the compensation would have just been a plus on top of it. So, you know, and I was the same thing. I did for 20 years, answered the call for a 2-hour minimum, and you know, that got me enough to go out when I could, and it was just an added bonus. So I would have to go anywhere between 50 and 75.
Could I offer that the 50 is a very acceptable number here, basically. Could we not go with the 50 and then and take a look at it, have staff take a look at it, or to have the whole issue looked at again down the road? I mean, we arrive at a number, and everybody's generally okay with the 50. We settle on that, and then with every intent that if there's, it's necessary to look at it again down the road. Dan?
Sure. I'd like to make a motion that you set it at 50.
I second it.
There's motion and seconded to set the call out at $50 per week. Any questions?
Does it have to have the hourly minimum with that? Is that separate or part of?
Oh,
you want to modify with that?
With the 2-hour minimum.
Okay. And time hourly.
Yeah. Okay. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Record reflect that it's unanimous.
And we'll bring back an addendum to the existing employee handbook with an on-call policy component.
And the other pieces we'll add to it is, we've talked a couple times, is just because we have never updated it since we added any retirements. So
right.
We put the retirement system that the current staff's working under. And what else? There's one other thing. No, that's it. I guess that would be it. So, you know, we'll update that because we've offered retirement when we hired these two folks, but we've never actually updated our handbook. So maybe, Jeremy, just be an addendum.
That's all it'll be.
Like a one-page addendum with or something that's got those. The only other thing that you, and you don't, we're going to take the employee handbook, but just so you're aware, the only other benefits that do go away things, what I call kind of the catch-all that they had over there. They had an additional short-term disability, long-term disability, AirLife memberships to AirLink. That amounted to about $5,000 a year. That's what it would cost us if we were to add it here between everyone. And so anyway, they're not part of our handbook, and I'm not recommending that we go alter or change the handbook to add any of those things.
Okay.
Then last, or not it was last, but the other issue, Jeremy and Katie, we have to, under the law, you'll notice it's an 80-hour cap. There's an issue, and some of you I've talked to, it's the carryover of health insurance and vacation. Under the law, we have to allow 80 hours of vacation to come over, correct? But we could go more than that.
That's correct. It's that the transfer employee's option to carry over up to 80 hours. We can agree to more. You can't agree to more. But you can also decline to allow more carryover. And all accrued sick leave can be carried over again at the employee's election.
And my I think all of our thoughts are that, and the districts, and Christy Munson from their attorney, has there's been some emails back and forth, that we'd like them to handle it. In other words, I think maybe adopt the 80-hour cap, and we then, that puts back on the districts. We want them to solve all of the issues with their employees before they come over. And part of it is the sick leave issue. There's a couple employees that exceed their personnel policies in accrued leave. They have a policy you don't get paid for sick leave, and they're over the cap on vacation. One in particular is Whale. Whale. I mean, between sick and vacation, it's like almost 1,000 hours. Oh, well, you can do the math with 40 hours a week, and you start to get into a pretty big check. And the other problem is, you'll notice that they, during our year, our 2 years of this, remember, Mr. Bales was paid off for sick leave when he retired. And they based that on that the policy he operated under, they paid sick leave. Well, that was just last, now I've been here 2 years, it was July of 10, I guess, I don't know. But anyway, whenever it was, a year and a half ago. But they paid him over $25,000. And over half of that was paying him sick leave. The argument is, they then adopted new personnel policies a year ago that don't allow payout. So when we question, why did you pay him that much money, the response was, well, he was working under a prior personnel policy that paid it. And they interpreted at that time, we're only going to not pay it from that day forward. Well, that's the sewer department. But the water department says they had a policy in place that said they don't pay. Well, you got two employees that work for sewer, three that work for water. And when I start trying to go back and figure out what policy was in effect with which employee and when, and based on how much have they used in the meantime and how much they accrued, I think it's a discussion that needs to go right over there.
Yeah.
So that's settled prior to coming here.
I will point out that the statute requires whatever is transferred over that the districts will be required to compensate the city for the number of hours retained times their regular hourly rate. But so you will get some compensation to the extent.
So somebody comes over with 80 hours and they have to reimburse the city that value.
Correct. And whatever accrued sick that comes over similarly would be those number of hours times their regular hourly rate.
Okay.
Then the other issue is, we talked, and these are, it's, we have a PTO system. They don't. And our thought was, and this is still preliminary, I guess, call it, is it that if they've got X amount of hours of sick leave and vacation, they come over with those numbers in a separate pots, right? Then from this forward, I guess we accrue under the PTO system, and then it kind of, you're gonna have a hybrid for those employees until those are dealt with.
Okay.
So are you going to prioritize what comes out first? Because they could have, they take their PTO, they don't take their vacation. And then if they did leave, we'd have to pay out the vacation, and we don't pay out PTO time.
That's some of the stuff we're doing.
Actually, so if you, it would fall under your policy. If you don't cash it out, there's no cash out. So it would still be on the books, but you wouldn't have to pay
and
it out.
And this employee choice on this, a lot of this cash out. So it's really a discussion that those five employees are going to have with their board.
Right.
And when they come here, a lot of it will be resolved, because you're right. They're going to sit and decide, do I want to bring that over to the city? Because I like the concept of getting paid out over there.
Right.
The employee with the largest number actually works for water, which, from what I was told, was that policy doesn't allow payout on sick leave. Sewer does.
So what we need from the council is a cap on the 80 hours.
And we want anything, you support cap, and our message back to the districts will be
Them straighten everything else out.
Yeah. Is that, Katie, what we need?
That's correct, and that is stated in the offer letter. That was
it's in the offer
transfer letter.
Oh, okay.
Do we also go to the fact that it's going to be PTO when they come over?
It's in our personnel policy. So that's automatic because
It's
in there.
So then there's going to be a hybrid there that they're going to have a little side account there. And are we going to come up with some kind of verbiage that says, like, do you have to use this before you use your PTO?
I think that's part of the stuff that we will work on under this broad powers of authority that you gave our city manager, because they may work a deal with the districts and cash it out, and they come over here with not much.
Okay.
So yeah. Don't create a problem before we know we have one.
Let me ask a question, and that is about budgets. You know, we're adopting their budget as a part of our budget, and we're about to adopt their budget. So once we adopt the budget, is there discretion to do these things within those budgets? You know, like I hear you say, well, it's not us paying them, they will pay them, but if they paying them is our budget, then who's really paying? I mean, is it semantics or?
It's likely semantics because all those assets are being transferred to you anyway.
All right, yeah.
But this is where there's a little difference.
Yes.
If there's a disagreement over there, mm-hmm. over what somebody pays, then, and an employee wants to discuss it at a different level, they discuss it with that body.
Right.
And that body's insurance carrier.
Right.
Okay.
That's the difference. It's we want to come here pretty tidy and clean because we had no control over the personnel policies. They have in fact allowed people to accrue above their current personnel policies. You know, so,
hell of a deal.
Is there a motion to set the cap at 80 hours of vacation that'll come over?
So moved.
Second.
Who firsted it?
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Stu made a motion.
Question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Record reflect that it's unanimous. Approval?
Another issue that we talked about is this afterwards of the money to operate. You know, the assets come over here. Okay. Again, what?
Did he second?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
Who seconded that motion?
I did.
Don Greiner for the tape. They will have all in the transfer, all assets come here, including cash.
Right.
And Steve's right. Well, if they spend a dollar, it means we get a dollar less here.
Right.
But it really does matter because it's them spending it and not us in that sense. But at the end of the day, the public of Lapine, whatever's paid out is paid out. But it's a difference. Is it a liability on our books or our audit or, you know, is it handled by them? Dollars in the bank is going to come out the same. However, on July 1, will still have to operate somebody or something to pay bills in July and August. As you all know, June and May bills are district bills. They will get billed in July for those. Could be August. And that is all part of their audit and their kind of end of year, June 30th, 2012. So we've been talking about, well, do we have all those bills come over here and we pay them out of city funds, or do we maybe, and this would all be through some agreements, but we keep a pot of money in their bank accounts because all those checks have to clear. They've written checks, but some people don't cash them. When they write that paycheck on June 30th, it may be July 10th before it's cashed. But on July 1st, all the assets are ours. So that's another detail that we're working out, is figuring out how do we handle that. So one thought was, and this is a fake number, you keep $25,000 in their bank account because they'll know what they have outstanding.
Right.
But then they may need their own staff that's 10% time. And they go contract to somebody, like they have that bookkeeper down there. They may pay her $500 a month to open up the mail of the district that's not something of ours, it's their bills, to write the checks. Then you're going to have to hire their auditor. They're going to have to do an audit because that's required to close out their books. So the districts will be around for a few months with some expenses. And we will now have 100% of the income in the future plus 100% of the assets if we don't give them some money.
So.
Well, how do other districts, I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened.
No, but it hasn't happened a
it
lot.
It doesn't happen much.
Okay.
And so, you know, I have not been involved in this process myself, in a statutory transfer process. My understanding is that it's gone both ways. You know, based upon what I've learned from others, is that there's the slush fund approach, as Rick just discussed. The other approach is to take it all, and when the mail comes in, you get it, you pay it. Because we're assuming all the district liabilities and obligations as well. So it's going to be paid. It's either do you want them to do it, or do you want us to do it?
Well, and then when does their board dissolve?
I think that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know
because
what they're intending to.
The board is responsible.
Right, right. And I can't speak to that. That is a question I'll perhaps ask of Christy Munson, their legal counsel, but I have not heard, you know, what their intentions are as far as that's concerned.
I'm torn between either one of them. You know, which is the easiest and simplest.
And I'm not asking you for a decision on that. Again, you've given kind of those powers over. I'm just trying to explain to you the hours and hours and the thoughts and the issues are now starting to now this is the rubber's hitting the road on the details of these things, and so, you know, we'll figure it out. There's no right or wrong.
Right.
My thought is, our last thought was maybe let them have some money over there so that they truly pay their bill. They go out and hire who they want.
To wrap things up. Right.
We let them hire. They have options.
I like that. It could go either way, but that sounds like the simplest, easiest way to let them close out without coming back to us, coming back and not having money and issues come up and everything. Just
we'd have control of giving them more money if they start
right.
spending, you know, like a something sailor. You can rein them in because, you know, I mean, so we have verifiable expenses and everything,
sure.
In other words, so it's not a free-for-all over there. The gift cards don't start flying. It's, but we are in control of the money. I think it's important for you to know it. But I think give them the money so that they can pay their bills. It will cost, their audit's probably $10,000 or $15,000.
So we're in the process as we speak over the next couple of weeks of developing a document that is going to operate as this general assignment transfer instrument. And within that master document, we'll have, if we establish the slush fund, if you will, this retained account, we'll have that component in there. I don't want to spend hours developing an agreement just for these retained funds. I'm going to have one or two provisions that deal with it. We'll have an accountability component to it, and that's it. We've got to trust them.
Yeah,
you know, that's
sure.
the bottom line. I'm indifferent at this point in time. I've thought there's pros and cons with each direction. But at this point in time, I mean, perhaps we go with the slush fund. We include that account or retained fund. We include the accounting component. We all know that over the July 1 is when the transfer becomes effective, the withdrawal becomes effective, but there will be loose ends that will need to be tied up and addressed post July 1. And this is just one of those elements, you know, the bills, the audit, that will be lingering out there for us to address at a later time. It won't be July 1, the lights go off at that building. It's just not practical. There's too much going on here. But we do need their cooperation, and part of the cooperation is dealing with the debts and outstanding liabilities.
I'd like to make a suggestion. I think that we ought to let them do it. The cleaner that it comes over here, the better.
I agree.
The perception that's gone on with all the newspaper articles and everything that's been in the past about what's gone over there, if we let them clean up their mess and then bring everything over here clean, I think it would be better for the city and better for the perception of the community also.
Do you want us to do that now?
I think there's a general consensus that the retained account be established. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so you will...
Yeah, I'm good with that. But if in the process you find out that that's not the best way,
perfect.
I think you should go whatever is the
perfect.
Most prudent direction.
That's great. That's what I want to hear.
Stu,
he's got the power.
Yeah.
And so what we're envisioning, this document will be presented to you
Melissa, do you have a date for that meeting?
June 20th.
June 20th.
What's that?
This general assignment document. This
so far.
June 20th is when it'd be presented.
Okay. And we'll have other resolutions there.
Yeah, and an ordinance. You'll have your. Go ahead.
No, and then maybe the other thing, just a brief discussion, Jeremy, on some of the logistics, so that people start to realize some of the things we were talking about or thinking about on just how we.
Software accounts.
Stuff. I think one of the things I think that I would like you to know or realize, and if anyone disagrees or agrees, hopefully you will definitely weigh in, that for the next couple months, the staff really needs to be able to spend a lot of focus time on this. And if we goof this up, it damages the image of the city, the council, and the staff. And this is really, we're moving into a whole new thing here. And I guess what I'm saying is asking you guys to understand there's a lot of neat projects and things that we'd like to start and get into and all of this, but from where my perspective in my looking at all of this, that I don't, it's kind of like there's a storm coming and it's not showing up on radar in some folks, and we need to get it there. And that means the council will have to let staff really focus on this. And that doesn't mean that something we're putting off for 2 or 3 months isn't important. In fact, it may be super important. But if we goof this up, it isn't gonna look good. And it's not, so, we have to start moving toward what happens when a customer pulls in this parking lot and comes in and wants to pay a bill. And do we have a Visa machine in our name when they want to pay with Visa? It takes a month sometimes to get a Visa machine. When they then say, well, I'm going to pay this, but part of it was on the old bill and this bill, we've got to understand the software system. We need to know, what if we need technical support on the software system? Who is Continental? Where does Continental come from? Do they have a tech in Oregon? Do they have a tech in California? Do they come up for a day? Is it $1,000 a day? All of these things. And the list is long. So I think, and Jeremy and I have talked a lot, we've been starting to get more nervous about that aspect of it. And so I talked to Steve yesterday for quite a while on the phone. And I think, maybe we should have this a month ago, but we learn as we go.
That's right.
But we've still got 4 weeks to 5 weeks here.
We've
got 30 days. Which is plenty of time if we're allowed to focus on that and really other things. And not on top of, not all things can go away, because we've got a comp plan in Lakeview to get our comp plan adopted. There's some things that have to be done besides this. So these other peripheral things, if the council would let these guys head down that path.
So you're saying anything that's non-essential, we should
keep an holding pattern.
Just your interim public works director's staff report, but all of you are in charge.
I think it's wise advice. I think that we should recognize that this is going to be the volcano going off in the next 30 days, and leave the staff to do it, and the emergency things will get brought to us anyway. And then the two or three things like what you mentioned, LCDC will have to be there. But I think that's wise advice. Kathy?
No, I agree. They need to have it and focus completely on that.
I saw Stu's head shaking yes.
That's the way it's always been.
Dan?
Yeah, I think with Steve and Rick and Lori at all hands on deck, I think it's going to happen in 30 days.
So the message is, the consensus of the council is to agree with that and to abide by it.
Yeah.
And to respect
their time. Absolutely.
That's the big thing. It's not our time, it's the citizens' time that are paying for this, and it's what they expected, and we need to let them concentrate.
What do you think, Steve?
No. Well, Yeah, I agree in part with Rick and I disagree in part, and that is, you know, we're a brand new city. We've got all kinds of things coming this way, and I think the way Rick explained it to me is, you know, just knock everything off your plate, Steve, except this public work stuff. But, you know, for instance, we've got grant applications. Either we apply for them in the next week or two, or we don't. And if we're going to apply for them, then we need to spend some time with them. And if we don't spend any time with them, then we're not going to do it. And yet that's a priority of the city because we've already spent 2 or 3 months identifying that as a priority. So in my mind, we've got to do it all as best we can. And yes, I agree, this is a paramount concern, but, you know, just to make a broad sweeping statement that everything else stops in the interim, I don't agree with that. I think we've got to do whatever we need to do to keep this place operating for the public, you know, so that's where I am.
Well, I think we just need to let you concentrate on your job.
Yeah,
and we'll
yeah.
stay out of your hair.
No, that's fine. but again, I don't want you. I also don't want to put out a message unwelcome at either. You know, you need to. Somebody gets in your face, and you need to get in my face. You need to do that.
Oh, they're in your face. We will. But the little stuff, the swatting, and that type of stuff, we can take those.
No, okay, that's fine. I mean, that's where I am. It's just a mixed bag.
And, you know, it's his plate that has to deal with it.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that I think there's a lot of stuff there. If they can handle 50 things on their plate, since they control their plate and they control their time, go for it. But yeah. this has to be done right.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying that's just, I'm just giving it more of it. It's a staff report for me. And I think he will prioritize correctly and will that grant he's talking about, that's something that we should apply for. And I don't know what all they're working on. So it's just more of a general statement that we do need to focus in on this. But if that takes 20 hours a day and 8 days a week, that's whatever.
Yeah. What concerns me from a practical standpoint is such things as software, accounts payable, and things like that. Delinquent accounts. You know, I don't know if we've got the infrastructure in place or have the passwords that are necessary so that we can piggyback off of whatever exists over there, so that on July 1, if Joe Lowe comes in and he has a past due account of $50 with interest or what have you, I want to make sure that we have the resources available where we can pull up his account and take care of those issues.
Be on top of it.
And presumably, Rick and I talked about this today, the software agreements that might exist. I don't know what we're doing software-wise, Lori and Steven. I leave that to you. But if we're going to use their software system, then we probably need to have a software license agreement with that software provider. Because that contract, unless it's signable, probably is not going to necessarily be in a position to, you know, to where we can just start operating under that system. Does
well,
that make sense?
Yeah, I'll call Ed. I have a contact at Continental.
And I just think Rick and I think we should start working on these steps now rather than wait till 10 or 15 days beforehand.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's what you need to concentrate on.
Well, that's more the thing is, we're working on the USDA, the legal and these requirements and all these things like these things we went through today on benefits and
but
wages.
That's the point is there's so much going on here that some of us aren't all aware of it,
you know,
and so that's why we have to respect your time to let you do, to manage the city.
Well, and these little issues, these are the types of issues that you should anticipate hiccups. There will be hiccups in the sense that, again, we're not going to have everything done by July 1, but if we're starting the process now, then maybe we have it all done by August 1st, you know, or September 1st rather than December. Because the transfer, technically under the law, the transfer is effective July 1st. Couple things as an aside, if I may move on. One thing, the employee transfer issue, I think for what it's worth, out of common decency and as a courtesy to the one employee that's obviously does not have that position available. I don't know what Dylan's expectations are. I don't know if he's going to have an article in the paper tomorrow, but I'd rather not have the operations manager find out from the Ben Bulletin that she doesn't have a position. So perhaps someone on the city council, or Rick or Steven, should call the operations manager tonight, this afternoon, to let her know of the decision. Just a thought, because I wouldn't want to read about it in the Ben Bulletin.
Well, that's right. It's 10 after 4 and they close at 4.
Well, personal residence. I mean, and I know there are people in this room that might be able to help you with that process. Just, again, a thought.
Just so you know, I have had a discussion with Donna and told her that, because she asked me, she said, well, I have a job. And I said, likely no. And I said, no, not because of, you know, disrespect or anything else, but just simply because all the aspects of your job are pretty well covered by existing staff. And, you know, and if it weren't for that, you'd have a job. But, and so she understood. And she emailed me back and thanked me for, you know, at least explaining that to her. And I did that 2 or 3 weeks ago. So
then,
she's
then
anticipating.
You feel that you could...
Yeah, I can follow up and just confirm that, you know, that we've formalized that assessment.
Okay. It'd be a good idea, Stephen.
Yeah, that's fine, because I've got a good dialogue with her going, so I'll keep that.
Is there any further staff comments?
Well, a question I have is, in effect, we're taking over July 1st. Mm-hmm. Then does that mean then we instruct the customers of the sewer and water to start making checks out to the city of Oklahoma?
As long as we have that infrastructure in place, you bet. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if it comes in under the district, you can still take it.
Well, yeah. By law, it's been assigned and transferred.
Well, I don't know if you've opened up any of the new bank accounts yet. Because, you know, they have several million dollars in the bank reserves. The USDA requires some reserves. And so that money, you know, they have reserve accounts, they have operational accounts. So we need to open up some bank accounts.
We're very bad.
With $100 so that you've got your placeholders. You can order the checks if they're a checking account, because it takes a couple weeks to get the checks. So that then when these accounts transfer this fund with $800,000, it goes from their reserve fund to this new reserve fund we create. Now later, you guys can figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. But I doubt you want it all just into our current checking account, because that could cause headaches. You know, this way it'll take months to work all this through. Is it true as a bank when two banks go together?
To open a bank account?
It's getting signature cards.
The signature cards.
And it requires a motion sometimes, which we included.
That resolution that you all passed should hopefully serve as that gap fill. So if we have little things like that, that should be a document that Stephen can rely on to get these things done.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No, I mean, that's plenty. But I'd say just so we could go on for hours.
Okay. Yeah. I know we could.
We're trying to educate you and let you know that there's a lot.
I think I'd like to compliment the staff on an excellent bringing together of information and presentation. This is really important stuff. It moves us up to the brink. And with that, I'd like to open to public comment.
Yes, Kitty Shields. I would just like to say, as I'm sure you already know, Steve, that Donna does not expect to have a job, and I think you did a good job conveying that to her. And the way I know Donna, I think that she would very much appreciate hearing that from the city manager.
Okay.
And I'm sure you have her cell phone number.
I'll get it if I don't.
I have it.
Okay, cool. I'll get it from you then, Kit. Thank you.
Yeah. And this was a good meeting. I think you guys, you've obviously worked through an awful lot. There's been a lot to work through. There's a whole lot more to go. I think Jeremy and I both knew right from the beginning, 5 years ago, that this was going to be a long and very involved process. I think you have a good team working on it. You've had an excellent person with Greg Allen working on it. And like I think Jeremy said, there will still be some hiccups, but that's to be expected. I think overall things are going to continue to go pretty smooth, but you do have good people working on it all together.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any further staff comments? Council comments?
I have a comment.
Yes.
It appears to me from what I've heard around this table that Rick is not going to be finished. Are we going to have to extend the contract with Rick?
Oh, I mean, I can wait. I mean, I think that if it's if they've got it, if there's something they need me to do, I'll do it for them. You know, something like that. But I think otherwise, I mean, I think it's
a slush fund.
you know, it depends on how, I guess, how things are going by the end of July. And then I think at that point, one thing, because I've thought about this, I don't want any contracts. It would be more of maybe you just contract to my company, like you would someone for an hourly rate or something, you know. And so it's just, if you use me, you use me, and if you don't, you don't. Well, you know, that type of thing.
Let me just throw that on you. That would be my thinking. And that is, obviously, Rick is a very valuable asset to this organization. He's got a lot of institutional memory. His time is valuable. It's competed with a whole host of other things that he does. And I would think that we'd want to have some kind of contractual arrangement, if nothing more than an hourly arrangement with Rick come July 1st, to just help transcend so that it's done, because it's, again, it's a huge asset, not just in terms of its dollar value now, but its long-term growth potential, and also what it means in terms of intrinsic value in the community. So that'd be my druthers, is that we would continue to have him in some consulting agreement, whether it's a formal agreement or informal, whatever. But then we'd work out an hourly rate with him.
You might, you know, my company that when I lobbied the legislature, and you know, and I mean, I have other clients, so then I just bill them, and just kind of like Jeremy, only less.
Yeah, right.
But that's probably the easiest. There's no redoing this thing and going through all of that. If you use me for an hour in a month, or you use me for 10 hours, it's appropriate that way. And so that's probably the way to go forward on it. And, you know, but I'm willing to help out however. Now, remember, of course, I'm still good through, I'm going to get a little of my payback from all this extra time in July, because I will be on the Middle Fork of the Sand River for 12 days in July, which I feel terrible. But I figure these guys got to come in here and fight over the bills.
Yeah. Any further council comments? Hearing none, motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous?